may be seated. Our third case today is 2021-247, the Village of Newburgh Heights et al. Versus the State of Ohio. For the appellant, Mr. Kearney.
Good morning, Madam Chief Justice. May it please the court. I'll try to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Your Honors, while the facts here involve traffic cameras, usually at intersections, the two legal doctrines involved, the spending power and home rule, have no intersection at all. First, the General Assembly's spending power is unlimited with no funding duties other than the few covered by specific provisions in the Constitution, like school funding. Second, cities' home rule powers, as to police power, involve at most the right to exercise police power over its citizens and territory with just pushing the state out of the way, and do not involve the right to be subsidized. So here, these two do not intersect, let alone conflict, and the Assembly is free to fund cities as it wants, the city is still free to have cameras. And the best way to answer this question is this one question. What if the state wanted to promote or encourage cameras by saying, you know, cities, we'll buy the cameras for you because we like them? Under their rule, that would be illegal because that would be incentivizing the cities that choose not to have them, because theirs is a one penny rule that you can't have any incentive at all. And the reason we know it's a one penny rule and not some degree of how much money is coercive or overbearing or so, we know it's a one penny rule because this is a pennies on the dollar case. Look at the numbers. In their complaint, Newburgh Heights says in 2018 they got over $2.4 million in traffic camera revenue. The amount of local government subsidy they were going to lose, $60,000, a little over 2%. But they were willing, in order to get that $2.4 million, to spend over $764,000 for the camera company to make their cut of it and them to keep the rest. Somehow they think spending $764,000 to get $2.4 million is, of course, worth it to come out ahead still by quite a lot, but that losing $60,000 is somehow devastating. Of course it's not. Now, we don't think you should go down this matter of degree path at all. It's a bright line. The spending power is not affected by home rule. But it does show that if the court were to even consider some different rule, they would lose under any standard other than, again, a one penny rule. Let's look at how the framers of the Constitution and the voters through amendments as framers know exactly how to do a spending or a funding demand when they want to. We have not only the general school funding clause, but we have specific clauses about funding the school for the deaf, funding the school for the blind, and so on. We even have set-asides that do affect cities and not school districts. For example, the casino amendment says certain set-aside has to go to the city where the casino is. We also have, for example, the inheritance tax, estate tax, certain percentage has to go to the cities and to other subdivisions. We have all these others. There's no free-floating one that says out of the GRF they have a right to get money. In fact, the Assembly could abolish the General Revenue Fund tomorrow, and they don't dispute that. So
let's get past the spending set-off. Let's talk about the court deposit requirement, okay?
Sure.
How does that fit into your argument about the spending set-off? I mean, there's two different things. It's one of them's not giving the city money, and the other is telling them to spend money on something.
Sure, Your Honor. Two answers to that. First, all the state says in the state law is that you pay the same fee as everyone else, but that it just can't be refunded. You can't shift the cost, you have the cost shifting provision, you know, to the loser if the ticket contester loses or so.
It has to be prepaid. But,
yes, they do prepay, but keep in mind the amount is set by the local court. The state doesn't collect that money. The local court does. I believe they set it at, I think it's $50 or $60, $70 tops in Newburgh, which is under the jurisdiction of the municipal court of Garfield Heights, I believe, and East Cleveland is under East Cleveland's own municipal court. So all it's saying is at the end of the day, you as a litigant pay the same upfront as any other litigant. And so how a city is treated as a litigant is not how it treats its citizens. When you come into state court, everyone's treated a certain way, whether it's paying filing fees or say we sometimes have fee shifting provisions like a civil rights plaintiff gets their attorney's fees, or sometimes we have merely cost shifting without fee shifting. Here it's saying you can't discourage a citizen from fighting a ticket by saying you're not only going to have to pay your ticket, but since you tried and lost, you're going to have to pay more, you're going to have to pay our costs back. It's you each eat your own cost. You file, you pay a cost. That's, first of all, that's certainly not coercive by any amount because the dollar amount is de minimis. And not only is that set by the courts, it's not money coming to us, but of course they set their own ticket levels. There's nothing in the law that sets their ticket level. So it's nothing that's dispositive, it's nothing overbearing. But again, when you think about it from the home rule side, even if you put aside the spending power and how that's unlimited except for special provision, the home rule power has always been about, under Canton, conflicting police powers. For example, we know when it's the power of local self-government, they get to do what they want. We don't have an overriding state interest. We don't even go into the Canton test. We don't go into conflict. Self-government, that's their own thing. But when it's police power of governing citizens, then sometimes we do have a clash under this court's doctrine where we're trying to tell a citizen you can carry a gun, they want to tell a citizen you can't, or whether it's tow trucks. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, but we're always fighting over who tells the citizen what to do. Here, when you go into court, that's not telling your citizens what to do. That's a matter of, in a way, this case is like the mirror image of local self-government, that we're not even involving a state police power here. We're talking about how the state runs its own affairs, whether it's how we budget for the one part of the spending set off, or how we set up which types of causes of action get fee shifting or cost shifting, or in this case, anti-cost shifting. That's just how we set up our own affairs. You don't have a right, as a city, you have a right maybe to tell your citizens what to do in certain cases. But you don't have a right to come into court and say, hey, private plaintiffs pay a fee, counties pay a fee, but cities, we don't have to pay costs, or we have a right to get costs back. No, how you appear in court, if there were ever a problem, it would be under some court access provision if they were somehow limited from going to court. But their police power is, again, telling citizens what to do. It's not about getting money from us, and it's not about how they're treated as a litigant in court. Those are totally separate. I want to also briefly mention this money, we don't keep it. We simply redirect it. Every dollar that they don't get goes into a fund for the local transportation district that coincides with their city, and it goes to fund roads in the area. So it just doesn't go to the city council to, you know, fund whatever they want. It goes to roads in the area anyway. It's just a diversion. And again, it is, if their rule were true, I don't see how you wouldn't have no incentives ever allowed at all. And we do incentives that there's no rule difference between so-called encouraging or discouraging, and we encourage things by offering money all the time. And here's the thing, we think you should rule just on the doctrine and the text and structure of the Constitution, but if you were to look at consequences, you know, they raise, and particularly their amici, this parade of horribles that the state will somehow abuse its power and do all these things. Here, that's very asymmetric. The state, if it is able to do this, can't really go abusing. If we take away the LGF, I mean, as a political complaint, as a policy matter, cities have been complaining for years that it's not high enough. If they've lost their LGF over traffic cameras, we can't go back to that well and take away more money. There's not really more money there, unless they would object that we would offer too much money as an incentive in some future program where we say, here, we'll give you millions and millions to do this thing, you know, to build parks or to, you know, do whatever we would want with our money. And so this power really can't end up getting overused as to the LGF. On the other hand, if you go their way and you say, you can never have one penny of incentive in what to spend your money on. We'll give you this money if you beef up security at City Hall, or if you beef up, you know, if we give grants, if we can't attach anything, that does cripple a lot of what states do. And a lot of things, it's common, and cities would be in a unique position. We fund counties, we fund townships. Their police power, again, is about the power to say, leave us alone. We've got this. We're going to govern citizens in this way. It's never said, leave us alone, but keep sending us a check. Again, I also want to mention, they say, well, the court already said in Dayton that we have the right to do this, and there's a sense, the spirit, that the assembly isn't allowed to go back to the drawing board and do indirectly what they can't do directly. That's wrong for a couple of reasons. First, this court said in the Toledo contempt case, the follow-up on traffic cameras, where a court tried to say exactly that, and the city of Toledo tried to say, this is the same case as Dayton. This is just the same thing all over again. Shut that down. You're in contempt of what we've already said. This court said no. Whether the state wins or loses on this spending thing, that's a different issue. It's not the same issue. It's not foregone by Dayton. The state gets to go back to the drawing board. And second, That happens all the time. The original school vouchers program was struck down for being passed a certain way, then the assembly passed it another way. This court frequently allows the assembly to go back to the drawing board. Sometimes it orders the assembly to go back to the drawing board. That's not a vice, that's a virtue. This time we did something different.
So say I agree with you, or we agree with you, on the spending clause, the spending set off. It's purely controlled by the General Assembly. Talk about the deposit requirement that they argue against and saying that you're stepping on the right of home rule.
Yes, two things, Your Honor. First, I do want to mention that the spending set-off actually has within it two sub-aspects. There's the spending set-off of we set off for how much revenue you make. There's also a separate thing that says if you just don't send in your report at all, because there's an underlying reporting requirement that's no longer at issue that they don't challenge, that you have to at least send in a report every year. And if you don't send your report at all, we also cut off your spending for that. The court below struck that down too. We think that's perfectly fine. If we're allowed to demand a report, we can also say, and you don't get your money till you fill out your application. So we think both aspects of the spending set off should be reversed and upheld. But second, as to the deposit requirement, as I was saying earlier, that doesn't involve the police power, because it doesn't involve how they are regulating citizens. It's how they're coming to court as a litigant. If they want to try some other claim under some court access or being treated differently from other litigants, I'm not sure what that theory would even be, but it's certainly not home rule, because again, home rule is about how you regulate citizens. Or it's about local self-government, but obviously how you litigate in court is not internal local self-government. This deposit amount, it's set by the court. The ticket amount is set by the city itself. The only thing the state comes in and says is, don't shift that cost back on, don't get your money back, or don't shift the cost over to the defendant, which is similar to, in other areas, we do cost shifting in favor of someone who's successful. Sometimes we do whole attorney's fees in favor of, and certainly a city couldn't come in and say, hey, when we get sued for an employment case in civil rights, that you can't make us pay attorney's fees because that interferes with our home rule right to come into court and defend our employment decisions for free. No, they have to, just like everyone else, suffer fee shifting if they're a defendant. If they're ever a plaintiff in the kind of cases where they can get fee shifting or cost shifting, they can. This is just an anti-fee shifting measure. If for some reason the court disagrees, obviously we think that one thing should be severed. They could save their $50 or $70, whatever it is. But the main thing here, the spending set off and the reporting based aspect of the spending set off, should be upheld. I also want to mention they do not challenge the jurisdiction provision. They also don't challenge the certified copy provision that says you have to attach a copy of the ticket when you file a ticket in court. We don't see what the problem with that is, but they don't challenge that anymore. Those parts they didn't cross appeal from the 8th District. I'll reserve the remainder.
Well, let me just, I guess I'm struggling a little bit to understand kind of the whole premise of the argument. I mean, what the Home Rule Amendment says is that that municipalities have police powers unless they conflict with the general law, essentially. But what I don't understand what the conflict here is. I mean, the state has a law that talks about the funding formula for municipal governments, and the state has a law that talks about who's going to pay the fees for certain kinds of tickets in municipal courts. Is there any, what's the conflict with that and with the municipal law? Why do we even get to home rule?
I hate to disappoint you, Your Honor, but I don't see the conflict either. That's why I said there's no intersection here. We keep spending over here, they keep doing traffic tickets over there. We're on parallel roads. There's no red light here because we don't intersect.
The city can go ahead with its program, right? There's no law that's not going to be, is preempted or not going to be enforced here.
Correct.
Right?
So the order that they want is not an order to say, leave us alone. It's an order to send us money. And this court has never in any of its police power cases found a right to be subsidized. And so I'm not even sure what clause that would be rooted in, other than this general sense of, well, that's just unfair. We want to do our thing and get money too. That's not in the Home Rule Amendment. It's not in any spending power provision. So that's why we think the court ought to reverse, ought not to create new language a new rule that has no basis in the Constitution and would simply cripple the state's control of revenue for the good of all citizens and would not even mean much more than a few pennies on the dollar for them. So we ask you to reverse, and I'll save my 34 seconds. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cicero?
Good morning, Chief Justice O'Connor. May it please the court. I'm Michael Cicero. I represent the Village of Newburgh Heights. Co-counsel Willa Hemmons for East Cleveland, who will have the remaining 5 minutes. I will do the first 10. I quote an earlier decision from this court in 1965, which is West Jefferson versus Robinson, when it comes to home rule issues. No one would contend that such an indirect effort by the legislature would be in any ways different in effect from a plain prohibition. This is a systemic, indirect attempt by the legislature to dictate the minutiae and make it economically unviable or impossible or imprudent to run any traffic camera program.
Does the record show that you can't run the traffic camera program?
There was ample evidence submitted to the trial court, Justice, that if the if House Bill 62 was not enjoined, that there would be immediate cuts. The program would almost be immediately eliminated due to the non-refundable filing fee. And I would submit, and I defer to my colleague, there's no justiciable controversy. The evidence in the record at the trial court level is almost 60% of all traffic tickets issued are paid. People are admitting liability for speeding. And this is all we do in the forest speeding. There's no red lights or anything like that. And you have to have a case or controversy in order to file something in a court. The legislature is attempting to dictate the minutia of how the municipalities run their program. This court in 08, in 14, and in 17 has held that operating a traffic camera program is a home rule power. And
well,
unlike
how is the state prohibiting you from doing that?
There is an economic guillotine where you have to pay a non-refundable filing fee, even though 60% of the cases will never be heard by a municipal court. Then even if the village wins, you still can't recover the filing fee. Then you have a local government fund reduction. And the local government fund, by and large, is made up of a pact between the legislature and the municipalities in the state made in 1934.
But there's no right to that.
There is no right. However, it was indicated in the original legislation in the 30s that I think it was 50% was supposed to go back to the community where the sales tax arose, very similar
doesn't
to the constitutional.
Money, but doesn't this money that's taken or kept from the city go back to the community? It might not go
from
back
the local
to,
government fund.
It might not go back to the village, or it might not go back to the city of East Cleveland. But doesn't it go back to the transportation fund for in that community? It's not like they take the money from
it,
you.
It may perhaps. I would submit to you over the past 12 to 15 years, the use of the local government fund is at the whim of the legislature and the executive branch of the state of Ohio in Columbus. And some of it was used to wipe out the state deficit in 2014-2015. Others are redirected
but
in other areas.
Doesn't that hurt your argument? You have no right to that money then. I mean,
it's not about the rights of the money, Justice. It's about having to pay a non-refundable filing fee. Then for every penny you make, you lose a penny. Then on the back end, having been a municipal prosecutor my
well,
entire-
you don't, Well, you don't, it's not quite true that for every penny you make, you lose a penny because you're apparently making more money from the traffic cameras than-
Up to whatever your maximum allocation would be. And depending on the nature of your community, some communities would, feel less about it than others. Because some will greatly exceed, but others will have it, you know, that local government fund is extremely important because they make a lot more based on population and the other criteria.
So, Council, you're collecting $150 for each ticket that's paid in Newburgh Heights, right?
Correct.
Okay. I know that.
Theoretically.
No, I know that.
Theoretically, Your Honor, yes. And that would be going 12 miles an hour over on the city streets or 16 on the highway.
I know that.
But in the record, you made $2.4 million.
I wasn't finished with my question.
Okay.
Okay, excuse me. So you have $100
mm-hmm.
profit right there.
Correct.
Okay. And you said for every penny you make, you lose a penny. How do you lose that $100?
And maybe I misspoke. For every dollar, based on House Bill 62, every dollar that you bring in, you lose a dollar allocation from the local government fund up to your maximum allocation.
Okay.
That is a more correct statement.
All right, up to your maximum allocation, which, according to Mr. Kearney, is, what, $60,000 maybe?
That's what is in the record, correct, Your Honor.
Okay. But then you stop losing money above the $60,000, right?
From the local government fund, but
right.
You have to put up front the non-refundable filing fee.
The $50. But again, you're making $100 on each ticket above your $60,000.
But you're still outlying millions of dollars based on the 41,000 tickets that are in the record in this case up front. And maybe at best, the evidence showed that we have a 60% return at best. So the city's still losing money up front by paying the non-refundable filing fee. You have a local government fund reduction, which varies from city to city. I recognize my client is a little bit different. But then the third one that everyone forgets is in a municipal court that has multiple jurisdictions, your pro rata portion of the operating expenses of that municipal court, by law, are made up of the number of criminal, civil, and traffic cases that you have. These would all be civil cases, and if forced to file, any municipality that goes to a multi-jurisdiction municipal court becomes the largest single payor of the operating expenses of that court. So you get hit with a non-refundable filing fee, a local government fund reduction, and then you pay on the back end because of your caseload that you're sending to the court.
But the court sets the filing fee, right? So there's no reason.
The court sets the filing.
There's no reason you can't work with the court and
One does not argue with the municipal court setting a filing fee.
Well, but you are, you know, you did, you are choosing to implement this program. There's obviously room for negotiation about what the filing fees are for funding in the municipal court.
Your Honor, as I had stated earlier, the vast majority of cases will never see the light of day, yet the municipalities are being forced to file there unnecessarily. And it's in an effort to extract a punitive non-refundable fee out of the cities that run them. However, if you run them in a school zone, you don't have to pay a fee. Is speeding any more egregious on the interstate where someone's going 105 miles an hour and causing a major crash on 77? And remember this, Justice.
But the question isn't whether this is a smart piece of legislation or a dumb piece of legislation. The question is, does it conflict with a municipal ordinance? And it's hard to see where there's a...
The answer, Your Honor, is unequivocally yes, because the state has asked this court to overturn Canton versus State. The state itself knows that House Bill 62 does not meet the test that this court established 20 years ago,
well,
after 90 years
of hearing
home rule cases.
The state's first argument is that you don't have to get there because there's no conflict between the home rule amendments, between the state law and the municipal law. So to say they're asking to overturn it is a little, it's not quite true. The first thing they're asking is to find that there's no conflict between these two things.
No, actually, Your Honor, at several points in the brief, the state has asked to overturn the Canton test because the state knows they can't meet the Canton test.
If we reach that issue.
Your Honor, every court that has considered this issue before this tribunal today, except for the trial court in this case, has found that there is a conflict that exists between House Bill 62 and local traffic camera programs. In Lucas, Montgomery, Summit, and I believe there's one other county that escapes me. Across the state, courts have resoundingly said there is a direct conflict. And the conflict is because what the state has attempted to do is that which it could not do two prior times. The only time in because of the Supreme Court's pronouncement that this is a home rule power, this is not one of those situations where there's a bunch of local laws and then the state legislatively preempts it, whether it's fracking or residency requirements or the ilk in prior cases. Even in the Fannie Lewis law, this court decided in 2019. In that case, the majority of the court said there's another constitutional provision that trumps home rule. The minority said, no, home rule trumps. But both acknowledged that. And what we have here is this court has judicially pronounced that this is a home rule power to run this program. And to attempt to limit it in any way has to serve, if you apply the Canton test, statewide, conduct of citizens generally, and it has to serve an overriding state interest. And I would submit to you that.
So then, if it were mandatory that the money's extracted from the cities, the dollar for dollar extraction, mandated that it go back into the community, because you seem to say the state can do it but doesn't have to do it, would that then satisfy?
No. The state interest, and if you think about it in the basic format, the overriding state interest that should have been the subject of House Bill 62 is traffic safety and traffic law enforcement. We have 31 million cars, by the way, per ODOT's cameras on 77, that's how we know how many cars go through, that go through the village of Newburgh Heights. We've had cruisers destroyed, officers injured, some severe, just from responding to accidents, let alone trying to run traffic details. When someone from Newburgh Heights was on I-77, there was one officer left to patrol the entire rest of the city. But because of this program that we put in, we now have more officers, more firefighters, and can better serve our residents, whose resources are taken away by commuters commuting back and forth to Cleveland. And I would submit to you that the indirect attempt to eliminate this program by the non-refundable local government fund reduction, each and every ticket, exclusive court jurisdiction, which I know is not an issue in this matter right now, which will be a subsequent case that you hear, is best delineated by one of the state representatives who sponsored this bill. To the Cleveland Plain Dealer in March of 19, he stated, "Cameras are about cash, not safety." That is the interest of the purpose behind the bill. It's to eliminate municipalities from making any money. Yet, we all read the paper, the state has recently introduced a bill to permit the turnpike to use cameras to catch people who don't pay turnpike fees. Think about it like this. This civil traffic ticket is nothing different than if you get a housing code violation notice, a building code violation notice, or a zoning notice. You need to paint your garage. You need to trim your grass. You need to fix your driveway apron. You have a time to contest it. If you don't, it proceeds. But what the House bill has done, in addition to those other punitive economic measures, is it's taken the ability away to have an administrative appeal within a city. And what I fear is that this court's decision in MAGSIG previously, which simply was limited to, yes, the legislature had the right to have exclusive jurisdiction. What I am concerned about is future legislatures saying, you no longer have a right on a housing case to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals or to the Planning Commission. That's the precedent MAGSIG sort of set. Now, with that being said, you do have the issue. You do have the issue that, and I reference it in the brief as an aside, but it's interesting. If you want to know what the purpose of House Bill 62 was, previously the legislature enacted Chapter 955 to set up a statewide system about classifying dogs as dangerous, vicious, or nuisance. And it gave exclusive jurisdiction to determine that designation, if you wanted to contest it, in the municipal court. And the municipal court sets a fee. Except none of the cities had to pay a filing fee that was non-refundable in order to classify the dog. No city has to pay a filing fee to give you a notice that you need to cut your grass or paint your house. But when you're trying to save lives on interstates and city streets,
Council, you're arguing policy.
I am arguing policy.
Yeah, and you know, as sympathetic as we might be for that argument, that's not how we can decide a case.
Your Honor, with that, as I had said earlier, based upon the fact that the state wants you to overturn the Canton test, I would submit to the court that traffic camera programs across the state can only be eliminated in two ways. One, as the city of Columbus did, its city council repealed the use of traffic cameras in this city. That's number one. Number two, you put a ballot initiative on. And you let the voters of the community say, do we want the cameras or do we want to enact a charter amendment banning or prohibiting the use of those cameras? And in Northeast Ohio, where I've practiced my entire career, three cities have done that. Mm-hmm. They've passed ballot initiatives banning cameras in the city of Cleveland, city of Garfield Heights, and the city of Maple Heights. A fourth community had a ballot issue, and the residents said, no, we want the cameras because we want our streets to be safe. And that city is the city of East Cleveland, and I'd like to turn the lectern over to my colleague, the law director from East Cleveland, Willa Hemmons.
Ms. Hemmons, your colleague has used all but, well, he's used all your time, but I'll give you a few minutes.
Oh, thank you very much, Your Honor. Chief Justice O'Connor, colleagues, Justices Willa Hemmons, City of East Cleveland. First of all, I would like to say that East Cleveland was a pioneer in 2006 in bringing forth the camera tickets. And in 2011, that was unequivocally reinforced by the voters who took it to a ballot. My honorable colleague, Mr. Connor, took us back to four centuries. I want to take us back to five centuries because the state has very paternalistically decided that it is the state's money. It's not the state's money. It's the people's money. East Clevelanders pay taxes, and they also have a right to home rule in order to decide how those taxes should be paid. Actually, the state decided belatedly, to try to overrule the fourth prong of the Canton test. But guess what? They never brought it up in their merit brief before the appellate court, so it really should be waived. Their argument to overturn Canton was so weak that they are bringing it forth now when it, under your case of Miller versus Miller, should not even be conscience before this court. And just briefly, I thank you for the time, but to give you a graphic example of how punitive this case is, going back to, there's nothing really on point in this century that opposed the state. It has to go back, I think, to Horseman in 1905, in which the fourth prong of the Canton test was articulated by the Horseman case, in which they said it governed bodies generally. Well, Justice French and Justice Kennedy said that it did not, in terms of municipalities, govern municipalities, okay? It governs citizens. So the state really doesn't govern municipalities. Also, to give you an example of how punitive this case is, the state's position is, for instance, say, go back to 1957. We're in a situation where the wife has no financial resources, no bank accounts or anything, but he says, you can buy any dress that you want. Okay, just go buy any dress that you want. So she goes to Higby's or Halley's, Sterling Linder Davis, and she goes to pick out a dress, but guess what? He has put a hold on the bank account. She can't write a check. It won't be honored. So really, even though in Dayton in 2017, your court gave us the right to use photo monitoring cameras as a protection, is a public safety issue. With reference to, and if I could have a couple more minutes, with reference to that transportation district, we're in District 12, okay? We share that transportation, there are 12 transportation districts in the state of Ohio that the funds will go back to. We share it with Geauga, we share it with Lake, and every other municipality in Cuyahoga County. Our children get killed, maimed, and injured on Euclid, on Strathmore, on Hayden. So if they are allocating the monies that we put in, the monies that we earned, we will not get the benefit of those monies because it's at the largest of the state that they can determine where the funds go. Therefore, it's a deprivation of our home rule authority, our local right to self-govern, and with that, I would like you to please, please affirm the 8th District Court of Appeals. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kearney, I'm going to take a minute.
Your Honors, three very quick points of what I did not hear and did hear. I did not hear anything that pointed to the text of the Constitution or how this is in police power or any denial that their rule is indeed a one-penny rule or denial of our figures showing the 60,000 is a lot less than the 2.4 million. I did hear not only a lot about policy and the second prong, they talked about our intent in doing this. This court said in Mendenhall that they wouldn't look at the city's intent at all, whether it was for safety or whether it was for money. The same thing is true on the state side. It doesn't matter whether we did this because some legislators don't like cameras, or whether because we thought of it as means testing of tell us how much you're making, and if you're making millions on a cash cow, you don't need our extra 60,000 or whatever it might be. The complicated formula of sharing the costs with other suburbs in the area, I don't think was anywhere in the briefs. I admit that's not something set by us. I'm not sure how we did anything wrong there. But finally, the third I heard most strongly from my friend on the other side was that this is somehow an economic guillotine. Given the figures of the 60K and the several million dollars, this is not an economic guillotine. It's not even a shaving nick. Now, we so ask the court to reverse.
Let me just ask you very quickly, what about the filing fee deposit? How is that rational? How does that make sense, especially since so many cases are not contested?
Well, two answers, Your Honor. First, if there is some other objection to it, it's not under home rule, because home rule is about how you govern your citizens, not how you're treated as a litigant in court. Second, how you're treated as a litigant in court is everybody pays fees to get into court. What they're saying is, well, we want them back or to shift them to the losers or whatever. What happens after that is not only set by usually court policy, but in this case, we have an anti-shift provision of don't make the person who lost have to pay more for even daring to challenge you. And we do that with all sorts of things. And again,
counsel, isn't there a fee even for the ones that don't challenge, right?
Sure, but that's true in, you know, in debt collection, lots of people pay their bills, but if you go to court to enforce a debt, then sometimes you pay, and that's why people still have to calculate, is it worth it to get my money back? And they can always set their fees at the amount they want. They're still coming out ahead as your own calculations
well,
with counsel work.
Well, but
you're paying
$50 a ticket, okay, goes where?
It goes to the court.
Okay.
And it uses it, whether it's for their own cost. The only state mandate, I believe, is that there's a small amount of 20-something dollars out of court filing fees that go to legal aid. But the state, unlike the spending set-off we send to transportation, none of that comes to us. That's a matter of the municipal courts in the area, whether they want to fight with them or not.
But
they suit us.
But the fact that there's a fee that goes to the court, the $50, even though 60% of the cases, people just write a check.
I understand, Your Honor.
Use the courts.
As a policy matter, I'm just not sure where I can find a hook in anything in the Ohio Constitution that says cities have a right to have their fees refunded in certain cases. It's, you know, if they have some other court access theory, I'm not sure what it would be and don't want to tell them how to sue us again. But there's nothing in the police power of governing their citizens that extends to how court costs are shifted or not shifted or deposited or paid. That's the police power they want. And of course, I do want to confirm, we don't need you to reach Canton, let alone change it. We may have disagreements other days on that. We have in the past, we may again in the future. But today, all we want you to say is there is no limit to how we spend our money here that's imposed, so we don't even reach home rule. And so again, we ask you to reverse.
Counsel, before you take off.
Sure. You can do this all day if you want.
Yes, that's okay. Your colleague on the other side says the fourth factor of Canton test was never raised below. It's almost word for word. Well, is that true?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think it's a matter of degree of detail. We have always said from day one, Canton doesn't apply here at all. So that's a subset of that. We've said Canton doesn't apply. And even if it does, we've said we satisfy it. What we've said here is that it ought to be modified because Canton is about
obviously the conflict between police power and police power, and that in a spending case, you can't just ask us, is this general or not? Are we trying to govern citizens? Because it doesn't even involve citizens, so we're saying it's a failure of fit. It's just saying to change it or meet it is just a different way. We've also argued in the alternative to the alternative to the alternative that if you step back, it actually is a general law in the sense that we're saying, citizens, you do all have a right, just like we say you have a right to concealed carry, as against your city's rules, you have a right to go to court and fight this. And part of your right to go to court is to not have that fee shifted back on you when you give it a good fighting chance. So if you look at the whole, which this court said in AFSA and other cases, if you look at it as a whole and not just the micro provision, it fits into a scheme that is general enough, would satisfy Canton, but only if you go plow through everything else to even get there. The easier route is just to say, please reverse. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision.